Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. We talk about the RNC race. Also, we play a piece of tape of my conversation with Governor Ron DeSantis. Full interview soon to be posted. That and so much more. As always, you can email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Matt Gaetz also joins us as well. And get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. Typically, I am not in favor of regime change. You know, typically, I think that it's wrong to try to go in and try to replace one leader and say that you know that things can work better than the other. It didn't work well in Libya, didn't work well in Syria, didn't work well in Iraq. But this is a regime change that I completely and totally support. It's a generational opportunity. I know a lot of you support Mike Lindell, love Mike Lindell. I'm behind Mike Lindell. I'm also behind Harmeet Dhillon. I'm behind change. Whoever ends up being the opposition candidate, I am going to be 100% and enthusiastically behind whomever that is. 98% of our attendees that came to the Turning Point Action event at America Fest back in December, 98% of them said that they want change at the Republican National Committee. Now, some of you are probably wondering, Charlie, why are you focusing so much on the RNC race? For what reason are you focusing on the GOP? Does it really matter? And the answer is yes, it does matter. The FEC, the Federal Election Commission, which is the federal body that regulates elections, has some very specific provisions that state that national party committees are able to follow that allow them to do certain activities, coordination efforts with campaigns and with candidates that outside super PACs, that outside other organizations are not able to do. So, for example, we run Turning Point Action. Turning Point Action is growing. Tyler Boyer's doing a great job of running it. It is a mighty force. We knock on a lot of doors. We do our best to try to move the dial. But all things being equal, Turning Point Action is $4 to $5 million operation. Nothing massive compared to the $500 million that, you know, Soros and these other people pump into some of these super PACs. But at Turning Point Action, it is forbidden for us at Turning Point Action to share data, resources, messaging, information with candidates, with campaigns. So, for example, if you have Dog Catcher running for Senate in, let's just say Joe Smith running for Senate in Wyoming, Turning Point Action, we are not able to talk to that candidate about strategy. We're not able to share data. We're not able to share best practices. We have to operate as what is called an outside group. Now, outside groups can still make a big difference, but it is forbidden by law for us to be able to pick up the phone and have a meeting and say, hey, here's some data. Would you like it? Or here's some donors. Would you like to share some of these donors? Would you like to do a joint fundraiser? Would you like to do a joint rally? Can't do that. Now, you can have candidates come speak at your events, but you cannot coordinate with those candidates. It's a very fine line. Now, 527s are regulated the same way. 527s are super PACs. You hear about that a lot. But the RNC is different. The RNC, because of federal election law, allows the party itself that the person is running in. So let's say that Joe Smith is running as a Republican in Wyoming. Joe Smith is able to talk to the RNC. Joe Smith is able to do meetings with the RNC. Joe Smith is able to receive data from the RNC. Joe Smith, or let's use more applicable examples, right? Let's say Blake Masters was able to, or Herschel Walker was able to, or Adam Laxalt, or J.D. Vance. They're able to pick up the phone and say, RNC, let's meet. What is your polling showing? What is your data showing? What messaging is going to work or not going to work? So the RNC at its best should operate as a central hub, a clearinghouse to be able to get data, volunteer strategy, grassroots, fundraising, small dollar donors. The RNC is necessary. We will not win in 2024. If we first don't clean up our elections, and that's why we need an actual functioning RNC, to make sure that we do not continue to have the sabotage and the ambush campaigns that plague our great candidates like Kari Lake and many others. But secondly, if we do not have an RNC that is deploying resources prudently and properly, that is understanding the need to energize voters with proper messaging, done correctly and properly, a functioning RNC can work in harmony with some of our best candidates, including if Donald Trump is the nominee in 2024. Whoever the nominee is in 2024, we need to have an RNC that is able to work in tandem with whomever that candidate is. I do not have faith that the current RNC regime will be able to get our movement, the America First movement, back into the White House in 2024. And I know a lot of you feel the same way. But that's just one example of several of why this matters so much. There is a technical reason, and the technical reason I just laid out for you. But in Harmeet Dhillon has made some promises. Mike Lindell has made several similar promises. We want to decentralize the RNC. We want to bring it to Jacksonville, Florida, or we want to bring it to Atlanta, Georgia. We want to bring it to Wisconsin. We want to bring it to Phoenix, Arizona. Shut down the Washington, D.C. office. I have not heard a good argument as to why the RNC has an office in Washington, D.C. The RNC is not there as a lobbying organization. It shouldn't be there as a social club. It shouldn't be there as a consultant clearinghouse. The RNC should not have a stapler in Washington, D.C. The RNC should not have a Keurig machine in Washington, D.C. It should be a fire sale. Shut it down. Bar the door. Get as much money as you can for it. And then open up four other headquarters. Say the RNC now has four headquarters. Our four headquarters are in Fulton County, Georgia. We are now in Waukesha, Wisconsin. We are in Maricopa. And we are in Allegheny County, Pennsylvania. We are going to live where we need to win votes. We are going to operate in the actual places that are going to be necessary to save the republic. This alone, the current RNC regime finds this idea to be preposterous. Ah, come on, you need a DC office. Why? What is the answer? We need to live where we need to win. Hire the staff there. Immerse yourself in the culture. Understand the demography. Understand the trends, the things that candidates are talking about. Now, the RNC will say, well, we open field offices. I am not talking about a field office. I'm talking about the actual nuts and bolts of where you call the headquarters. And by the way, it would be nice to actually spend money in the states where you need to actually be able to win people over. So this is all happening right now in Dana Point, California. Of course, Dana Point, California, at $900 a night resort. The RNC is at the Waldorf Astoria in Dana Point. Is that right? The Waldorf Astoria? There is a more opulent option, and that's what they'll probably say. The Ritz is, which one's higher? Check which one's higher on Expedia. I don't know if Expedia is the best. What do you use? Hotels.com? Hotels.com. Which is the, Priceline? Is that, that's William Shatner? I'm wondering which one. Ritz is cheaper than the Waldorf. All right. So they took the more opulent option. And just for the record, I think the Ritz is actually a nicer hotel. I actually do. That Ritz is a beautiful property. I've had an opportunity to go to a couple events there, right? Am I right? The Waldorf, I don't think it's just overpriced. And I'm actually not really a Waldorf fan as it is. Yeah. So, but anyway, that's where they're doing. Is it really true it's owned by the Chinese? Is that right? I don't know if that's right or not. Maybe or not. By the way, if I was running the RNC, okay, you don't have to go to Days Inn. I think that's an over. That's probably, you don't have to go to, you know, Motel 8 or whatever. That's too much. Okay. But maybe a Hilton, you know, just like a main line, nice brand, maybe a Marriott, maybe a Westin, right? I mean, something that's good for business travelers, and maybe do it in a state that you need to win. Don't do it the Hyatt, because that's J.B. Pritzker. You help fund the Democrats. Marriott, they've been Republican donors in years past. Why you have it at the Waldorf Astoria? I don't know.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Thanks to your support, Patriot Mobile has emerged as one of the leaders in the parallel economy, and they have big news. Patriot Mobile now offers services with all three major networks. This means if you're with the big three and like the service but hate their values, you can access them with Patriot Mobile. They also offer a performance guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, then you could switch between the three major carriers for free. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers nationwide coverage of the best 4G and 5G networks, so you get the same great service while supporting a company that fights to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. This new year, resolve to stop supporting companies that don't align with your values. Their 100% U.S.-based customer support team helps make switching easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call them at 878-PATRIOT. I think very highly of Patriot Mobile. I love their team. Glenn and all of them, they do a wonderful job. Get free activation today with offer code Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/Charlie.
Some of our listeners are funny. Charlie, why aren't you telling the public about Ronna McDaniel Romney's mismanagement of donor funds, $17 million in donor gifts? Yeah, I mean, we actually broke the story on our show. It's people could be so accusatory sometimes. But yes, I'll keep on mentioning it. That is true. $17 million in donor gifts. Rather suspicious. Did you guys get any of those, by the way, that gave small dollar donations to donors? Small dollar donations to the RNC. Let me be precise in my language here. Yeah. Okay. These emails. People are angry, man. Charlie, you're putting them down for staying at the Ritz. No, I'm putting them down for staying at the Waldorf. And you were there. Sounds like a rhino. Why would you ever go to the Ritz? I mean, you know how much, man. You're the worst. I mean, yeah. I went to an event there. Okay, for live action. Keep it up, man. People are funny. Okay, enough of that. We get some really silly emails. Email is freedom@charliekirk.com. Silly ones are welcome, and they might be read on air. So we're heading to the RNC meeting. There's 168 members. Right now, the current chairperson of the RNC is Ronna Romney. And again, she's a very sweet and pleasant person. I haven't heard anybody say anything different. She's always been very warm and very kind to me, but she's also a loser. And we should not reward losers. And when you run the RNC for the years that she has, which is now 6 years, and every... Is it 6 years? Let me think. Yeah, that's right. 2017 is when she became RNC chair. And every single cycle, you have an excuse. In 2018, it was Mueller. In 2020, it was COVID. In 2022, it was abortion. You're probably more focused on staying chairperson than actually achieving results. And that's okay. I'm sure that there's a place for ambition and all this in the broader calculus. But why on earth are we going to keep on rewarding somebody that does not deliver the desired objective, especially one that spends $17 million on donor gifts, especially one that spent $700,000 on flowers? It's ridiculous. And the current RNC regime, in so many different ways, is demanding more time, more of your money, more of your resources. Why? Because I think they want to keep the consultant industrial complex going. They want to continue to stay in power, regardless of how people criticize them and how many people want them removed. 98% of people want them removed. 98% want the RNC to be changed. There's some very big money involved here. If we do not win back the White House in 2024, the Republic is going to be harder and harder for us to reclaim. I don't think the country will be over, but it'll be hard for us to reclaim it. And it's so winnable. These people are doing such damage to our country. The RNC needs to be run by innovative thinkers, people that employ entrepreneurialism. Why is it that the RNC considers themselves to be untouchable? I want your thoughts on the RNC race as we head there and as I try to be your voice coming up tomorrow to lobby these members. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com.
Noble Gold Investments is pleased to let you know that gold was the best investment class for 2022. Through all our record-breaking inflation, crashing stock market, the crypto scams, there is one asset that has held its own. Gold. According to longtermtrends.net, gold has actually outperformed the S&P 500, Dow, and Bitcoin for 2022. Had you invested in the S&P 500 a year ago, you would be down more than 20%. If you invested in Bitcoin a year ago, you'd be down more than 65%. If you invested in the Dow a year ago, you'd be down almost 10%. Yes, gold has outperformed them all in 2022, and silver is not far behind. Yes, while the world was busy hailing other assets as the real hedge, gold and silver are the only assets that would have protected your wealth. So join the thousands of others by opening a gold IRA or silver IRA with Noble Gold Investments. Get in right now and you'll bag a free 1/4 of an ounce American Gold Eagle coin with every qualified IRA of $50,000 or more. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold Investments and their thousands of five-star reviews. This is a little, this just happened just minutes ago. Governor Ron DeSantis' take on the upcoming RNC race. And just for the record, Donald Trump is remaining neutral on the race. But you're about to hear Governor DeSantis is not remaining neutral. He's listening to you, and he says it's time for a change. Play cut 99.
Right now, the RNC is meeting in Dana Point, California. And there are some questions of who should lead the RNC and whether it should be Rana for a fourth term or go a different direction with Harmeet Dhillon. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, we've had three substandard election cycles in a row, 18, 20, and 22. And I would say of all three of those, 22 was probably the worst given the political environment of a very unpopular president and Biden. Huge majorities of the people think the country's going in the wrong direction. That is an environment that's tailor-made to make big gains in the House and the Senate and state houses all across the country. And yet that didn't happen. And in fact, we even lost ground in the U.S. Senate. And so, you know, I think we need a change. I think we need to get some new blood in the RNC. I like what Harmeet Dhillon has said about getting the RNC out of D.C. Why would you want to have your headquarters in the most Democrat city in America? It's more Democrat than San Francisco is. So I think you get it in real parts of the country. You attract people who want to live in those parts of the country, not D.C. insiders. But I do think we need some fresh thinking. And here's the thing, just practically speaking, you need grassroots Republicans to power this organization with volunteering and donations. I think it's going to be very difficult to energize people to want to give money, to want to volunteer their time with the RNC if they don't see a change in direction.
Do you have any personal experience with the RNC? I mean, because they'll say that Florida was one of their great successes this last cycle.
So we actually ran our election assuming we weren't going to be involved with the RNC at all because they weren't raising the type of money that they needed to be raising. And so our Get Out the Vote, our ground operation, we funded that. We focused a lot on actually low propensity voters, and we turned out a lot of low props, which is very, very good. So it was very successful, you know, but that was really being driven by our agenda, our accomplishments, and us putting a lot of dollars behind this important ground game.
Yeah, and I'm talking to a lot of members, and you know, we're going to see how it ends up, and people are kind of looking for direction and for answers. But here's what we do know. 92 to 98% of voters say, this is insane what's happening here, this continued lackluster results. Why are we going to put our foot on the gas and accelerate in a direction that is really against us? And I would just say, hey, look at Florida. Maybe Florida's, you know, a path forward that actually could show us, you know, how we could do things. And so, just kind of closing thought on that, the members are meeting and you've said, you know, it's time for a change. What other ideas do you think the RNC could embrace, you know, regardless of who wins, to actually have a path forward that can achieve victory?
It needs to be less consultant driven. Okay, this money that's going in needs to go to ultimately winning elections and not to be lining the pocket of so many consultants. So we need huge transparency on that. You know, when we ran our election, we had our digital in-house. You know, we've got a great fundraising team. We have all this. But we're not giving commissions We pay them a salary. You know, you do a good job. I want to pay you. I want you to do well. But you can't have incentives to where the campaigns and the operations are run with an eye to putting more money in the pocket of the consultant class. And obviously, they're very powerful in D.C. So I think if we can get away from that, have more transparency, and then really be in touch with our voter base. I mean, one of the reasons why we did well is because our base voters knew governor's gonna do the right thing. I trust him. He's got our back. There's not a lot of trust between the grassroots and the RNC up in D.C. In fact, when I would do fundraising, I'd raise money for the Republican Party of Florida. We would do good, but if I did a fundraising for me instead of for the party, we'd raise much more money. Yes. Because they trust the people that they see doing the job. When you start talking about Republican Party apparatus, a lot of our voters are like, yeah, I don't know about that. So we need to restore that trust, because ultimately you want to have an organization that's going to be able to help in a lot of these key races. It's very important.
Is it time for us to embrace early voting, in-person early voting, ballot harvesting? In some ways, a separating characteristic of your campaign. You did really well with in-person early voting.
So here's the thing. Florida, I work with the legislature. We ban ballot harvesting. I don't think you should have ballot harvesting.
Yes.
We ban Zuckerbucks. I don't think you should have Zuckerbucks. However, if it's legal in your state, you've got to exploit the rules as they exist. So in Nevada, if it's legal, Republicans need to have a ballot harvesting operation in these rural counties. I would do Zuckerbucks in these places. I think Zuckerbucks is corrupt as hell.
Yes.
But if it's legal and the Democrats are doing it, why aren't we doing it? So I would say whatever, fight for whatever election reforms you think matter. And I would say ban ballot harvesting, do all that. But if it's not banned, you need to do it, because otherwise we're fighting with one hand tied behind our back. If you have early voting, we need to tell people to vote as soon as they can. And if you have absentee ballots, you need to tell voters to return absentee ballots. And we did that in Florida. And I'll tell you, a lot of the low props who we ended up getting to come out, a lot of them voted with absentee ballots.
Really?
So whatever the rules are, I think we need to go to the hilt on all of it, because there's some people that may not go to a polling place, but maybe they'd be willing to put something in the mail. Now, you can support reforms. I don't think you should have mass mail balloting. And I would even say, you know, early voting, even though we did very well, I kind of like Election Day. But whatever the rules are, do whatever you can to maximize your performance.
To hear the entire conversation with Governor Ron DeSantis, you guys can hear it on the wonderful Real America's Voice and also the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. And so let me just welcome the program, Congressman Matt Gaetz. Matt, welcome to the program.
All right. Well, you know, I know my wife saw you in Tallahassee the other day and was thrilled that you were there. And what a great conversation you had with our governor.
That's right. It was. And he is calling for change at the RNC, which I am thankful that he did. And that entire interview will be posted. And I think it could not come at a more important time. Matt, 2 minutes. The floor is yours. Talk about the FBI guy that was investigating the Russia hoax and then himself gets arrested for dealing with a Russian oligarch. The floor is yours.
That's right. Charles McGonigal did the original intake as part of the Five Eyes intelligence that emerged from a London pub with George Papadopoulos, something we believe was a setup, but they needed someone to receive the setup. This guy, McGonigal, was working in the D.C. office of the FBI at that time, does the intake, ignites the corrupt Russia hoax. Then McGonigal gets promoted by none other than Jim Comey to one of the senior counterintelligence posts in the entire FBI. That is the head, the special agent in charge of counterintelligence at the New York field office. While working there, he's supposed to be going after people like corrupt oligarch Oleg Deripaska. Deripaska is in the business of compromising our politicians, moving this kleptocracy of Russia into the American economy by avoiding sanctions, money laundering, all kind of malign activity. He's actually a person of special significance that our intelligence community monitors. So McGonigal's supposed to be going after this guy. And at some point, he starts working for him, taking money from him, setting up a shell corporation, getting a fake name, getting a cell phone under a fake name in this shell corporation, and works to try to evade U.S. sanctions, launder money, and execute on the whims of Oleg Deripaska against other Russian oligarchs that Deripaska wants to generate offense against. Now, in the charging document, in the indictment, the Department of Justice tries to do a lot of work to say, well, you know, McGonigal was basically a Boy Scout when he worked for us and when he had these senior positions. He only turned into a bad guy after he left the employ of the FBI. But there are two key facts that are kind of buried in the indictment. First, the shell corporation that ended up doing what the indictment alleges is illegal money laundering was set up while McGonigal was the special agent in charge of counterintelligence in the New York field office. And second, there was an ally of Deripaska who wanted his daughter to get an internship at the NYPD, and McGonigal was setting it up. So he had already been turned. He was already perceiving these corrupt influences.
And you have the investigators themselves that were engaging in the activity that they were accusing Donald Trump of. It should be the biggest story in America, in American law enforcement, but the media is largely ignoring it.
Well, now that we know that one of the senior counterintelligence officials that was supposed to be hunting for spies from foreign lands actually ended up getting turned, we have to do an assessment as to what damage that caused. Were there investigations that were not properly resourced because some Russian oligarch was pulling the strings on our own FBI? Were there things that got advanced so that these Russian interests could have leverage against another business entity or an American or even a Russian in the United States or around the world? And so I think that we have to look at the decisions that this person made. Jim Jordan and I have demanded that Christopher Wray come and brief on this matter. And I could tell you, we do have questions about the various trigger points at the very beginning of the Trump-Russia hoax, where this should have been dispensed with summarily. Instead, it developed into this multi-year attack on our country and on the institution of the presidency. And I want to know, who was accelerating that? Who was trying to turn this political dirt, this Russian dirt, into counterintelligence information and into criminal investigations? Because that should never happen in our country. And we are starting to see how corrupt specifically the people that work for the FBI in Washington, D.C. are. I think there are a lot of brave and patriotic Americans who want to be a part of law enforcement and who serve the FBI all across our country. That's why I think Dan Bishop's proposal, Congressman who's on the Judiciary Committee with me, to break up the FBI and to put the FBI under the jurisdictions of the U.S. attorneys who actually have to be confirmed by the Senate, that would decentralize the apparatus. That would be a shock to, I think, the swamp monster that the J. Edgar Hoover building has become. And I think it would allow us to meet the law enforcement needs of the country without the people in the FBI thinking that the best way to move ahead in your career is to engage in politics rather than law enforcement.
Matt Gaetz, what is your reaction then to Mike Pence being investigated by the for the document mishandling? Matt, what's your reaction?
I've never really been here for the document drama. I said back in September, Charlie, that probably every presidential library in the country and every library collected by presidents, vice presidents, secretaries of state, probably there's some lack of compliance with some technical provision of the Records Act. Now, if these Biden documents have to do with Burisma or China, and they were at the Biden Penn Center that was funded by China. I mean, there's a over $500,000 donation to the Biden Penn Center directly from an entity that runs China's Thousand Talents program, which our own intelligence community has assessed is part of their intellectual property theft regime run by the Chinese Communist Party. So if it has to do with those substantive matters, then all bets are off and it's treason. It would be treason of Joe Biden to take classified documents and give them to Chinese operatives or are operatives paid for by China for money to the Biden Penn Center. Let's be very clear about that. But if this is like, you know, some correspondence or some, you know, briefing materials from yesteryear that never had any relevance at the point at which they were taken out, I don't think that this is like, you know, the crime of the century, whether they're talking about Trump or Biden or Pence.
Matt Gaetz, 30 seconds remaining. Your thought on Adam Schiff running for the United States Senate seat in California?
Well, I guess not being on the Intelligence Committee gives Adam Schiff a little more time. That's going to be a very interesting field. Katie Porter has entered the field. And remember, California has become such a machine state. There hasn't been a real open opportunity for a Senate seat like this. Adam Schiff is my least favorite member of Congress. He is the least ethical member of Congress. He should be defeated in the primary, if not that, the general. But it would be interesting to see Ro Khanna run for the U.S. Senate, right? I mean, he's somebody who works with Republicans on populist issues. He obviously disagrees with us on more issues than that. But hey, Ro Khanna will at least take a phone call if you're independent-minded, if you're Republican, and if you have an idea that he thinks he can work with you on to save the country. So I'd love to see Khanna get in that race and whoop Schiff.
Very good. Matt, thank you so much. Talk to you soon. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.